going to share the next few minutes, and I just want to throw out four premises to start with, and then we're going to, I want to share something from my personal life, if that's okay. And if it isn't, just you can throw hand tomatoes, whatever you want to do. All right, as we look in terms of, and we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 17. That's what's up on the board, and we're going to look through the chapter tonight because I think it has a lot of things in it. But as we look in terms of God's preparation for the things he does, I think there are four things that are really crucial, and they'll be found in 1 Kings chapter 17 as well. But he always provides the necessary materials to get the job done. Isn't that great? God's timetable is always right on. Mine's ahead of it, mine's behind it, but God's timetable is always right on. He always provides the miraculous when needed, and always prepares the people who are going to be involved for the task that lays ahead of them. Now, as we look at 1 Kings chapter 17 tonight, there are lots of good things, I think, in here. And one of the crucial things that you see repeated, and we'll talk about as we have time tonight, but that is we must be listening for God's voice and be ready to respond when we hear it. That's crucial. I'm sure there's nobody in this room except me who's ever heard God's voice and didn't respond, but that's one of the crucial things we'll take a look at and see. And also, we'll get into the authority part of that as well as we move along. Let me share with you, some years ago, it's been probably, well, I don't know how many, doesn't matter, but we took a work crew to Old Mexico for about 5 or 6 weekends in a row. And we were building orphanages, we were building kitchens, bunk bed sleeping areas, and a chapel. We returned home, and after 5 or 6 weeks of this, a couple of more weeks went by, and I felt like I had the flu after a couple of weeks. So I went to the doctor, of course, and felt after 3 visits, he determined that I had hepatitis. We took all of the precautions possible. We took all of our own water, our food. The list goes on and on and on. We discovered that I had gotten it from water that was trucked in to mix with concrete, so that it would pour out of the trucks in the buildings we were building. And once diagnosed, I found out there was no cure for hepatitis. I spent 5.5 weeks in isolation in the hospital. Everything was given to me at home by people who were gowned and masked. Time went on and I was not getting better. And finally, after about 3 months, I was able to have visitors out in the yard. It was great to be outside and have normal visitor time. And finally, one Sunday afternoon, I had 2 visitors who I knew very well. And while they were there, one of them said that he had a word from the Lord, which basically God had seen the prayers and that healing was right around the corner. And after I received that word from the Lord, I had a completely different outlook about the situation. 3.5 weeks later, I found myself cleared to return to a normal lifestyle, and was able to go back to work because of what God had spoken into existence. That was a powerful day for me. I had been waiting, I had been praying, I'd been talking to God, I'd been doing all the things I knew to do, and nothing was happening that said there was any change at all going about. And then on that Sunday afternoon, where the 2 gentlemen came by and took some time and shared, and that's the reason they had come by, as a matter of fact. As we look at the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, I want to read through it and then come back and pull some things out if we can. It'll be up on the screen if you want to follow along with me. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." And then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed at the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, Indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And I see I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the words of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. And then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, have you brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he received it. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now is this, I know that you are a man of God, and that your mouth, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this chapter, and God, for the many things that it contains. We pray, Lord, that you'll just bless it to our heart, to our life. Open it, we pray, to each of us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this particular chapter, and there are lots of things, and I'm just going to pull a few of them out tonight, but if you look in the 17th chapter, the very first verse, it speaks, I believe, of the authority of God. It's controller of the universe, all-powerful, almighty. And I shared the story about my illness with you because that's what I experienced. I found myself looking all different places, but suddenly I had people come along who shared the word of God with me and who spoke and told me exactly what God had done. As we look in terms of chapter 2 or verse 2 of chapter 17, where it talks about, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, and that's the focal point we want on tonight. Here was God who was giving direction. Here was God who said, "Trust in me and I will direct your paths." Here was God who was providing shelter. He was providing a hiding place. He was giving protection, and he was sensing his presence in a powerful kind of way. As you look at the third verse, he says, "Get out of here, turn eastward, hide by the brook, which flows into the Jordan." So as we look at this chapter, we can see as we look at these verses, these are crucial things, again, that I think he is speaking to that affect and certainly relate to our lives. I seek God's direction on a daily basis, and I'm sure you do as well. I trust in God and allow him to move and minister and lead me and guide me in the path where he would have me to go. He also told Elijah to go and hide. And so God provides for us the shelter and the hiding place and the protection that we need on a continuing basis. I think the one also that I think is so important that we can see out of these verses is the fact his sensing of his presence on a continual basis. That is a powerful statement. I know when I come back to the illness I shared with you before, that was one of the things that I really, really lacked. And suddenly God's presence came and became a real thing in terms of my life. In chapter 17 and verse 8, we find again that God speaks in a very, very great way. He says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath He was told to relocate. He was told to meet the next challenge with us. He was told to hear God speaking and to move accordingly as God had spoken to him. And so he did. He got up, and we'll look at some of the rest of the story as we move into that in just a moment. In 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 14, and he says, "And now you say, go tell your master, Elijah is here, and he will kill me." You just recall the discussion he'd had with Obadiah about them looking for Elijah, not being able to find him. And so he certainly was concerned about the fact that he would show up now. But after he had talked with Elijah at length, he found that this was a great thing to do, was to be obedient and follow his direction. Now, I think as we look in terms of our life and how it relates to us, God is concerned about our daily provisions as well. People are hurting today. Must trust God for their daily provisions. We have some tonight in the audience tonight who shared before me that they're going to be losing part of the income they have coming as well. We have others in our congregation that are in the same state. And God wants to come and wants to be a provider of each of us and meet our needs. God, excuse me, God's always got more than enough to meet our needs. Aren't you thankful for that? We can use up what we think is his total resource, and guess what? God has more and more and more. He cares about the lilies and the birds of the field. And if he does that, we again look at what he says, how much more he cares for us who are his children. In 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 16, we find that the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Notice everything in the chapter, it's by the word of the Lord. That's what it is. That's the important part of it. As we look in terms of our lives, we want to hear the word from the Lord. We want to hear his voice talk to us. We want to be able to sense his feeling and also his power that he has for us. 1 Kings chapter 21 and 22, we find that there are some unwanted circumstances that Elijah finds himself in. And we find that we have a little boy who has died. And yet, as we look at this whole process, Elijah knows that God has brought him this far without any hitches, not any problems. And he's sure in his mind, I'm certain of that, that God's not going to leave him here with a situation that he has on his hand. And so he comes. And as we look at this process again in the 24th verse of the 17th chapter, he says, "Then the woman said to Elijah," that she was validated by the words that came out of his mouth because they were truth. There are many people in our world today who say many things and who promise many things. And yet as we look at their life and we see they deliver nothing. But Elijah was at a stage where he came here, took the little boy, and notice also kind of a little, I think, kind of a funny little sideline here, and that is that Elijah moved from outdoor camping into pretty much a bed and breakfast with the widow in Zarephath. She made meals for him, provided an upper room where he was staying. So it was a complete change and turnaround for him. And although there are many people in our world who, again, make claims, makes promises, we look in terms of the Word of God and we understand that what he says is true yesterday, today, and forever. And we can stand upon the promises of God, knowing that they were absolutely without fail, they are true, and we'll see them through to the end. As we look in 1 Kings, sliding over a little bit, we didn't read the chapter, but it's okay. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 36 and 37, we find these words, and this is kind of an exciting part of the story, because you recall what's happened. Elijah has been out here with all the prophets of Baal and invited them to come, and let's find out who God really is. Let's find out who the real God is. And so as we have this whole process here, you recall the story well. Elijah came and the prophets gathered and they built the altars. They selected the calves that they wanted. They put them on the altars, put the wood, didn't strike any fire with them, and said, "Look, we will call upon gods and we'll find out which God answers by fire and we'll determine who the real God is." And so the whole process goes on here. The prophets all gather and people all gather and they start praying and they start shouting and they start carrying on as loud as they almost possibly can. In fact, if you look down a little farther in the chapter, you find out that Elijah mocks them and makes fun of them. stirring them up again. And so they continue on. He says, you may have to get louder. He may be out talking someplace. He may be off duty. Whatever the case may be, he kept edging and edging and edging until they became louder. Also, the scripture says that they cut themselves until they were bloodied in really a noticeable way. And so after all of this had gone on, and after all of this procedure had taken place, Elijah says, look, it's time. He called the people together. He not only took the altar and restored it and set it up the way it should be, but he also asked them to bring water and to pour on the wood and on the sacrifice. He also had dug a trench around the entire altar area. And he asked them not once, not twice, but three times to bring water and to soak it and to saturate it. After this was done, Elijah didn't cut himself and he didn't yell and scream and holler, but he simply looked heavenward and said, look, Lord, if you're Lord, come and answer by fire. If you're Lord, come and show these people that what I've shared with them is truth. And so we find, in the rest of chapter 18, and you can read it for yourself whenever you get there, but found that there was going to be fire come from heaven. I don't know about you, but I would have liked to have been there that day. I'd like to have been right next to the altar and seen that fire come down and just joined in worship and praise with Elijah. He knew he was spoken truth. He knew what was going to take place. He knew what was going to happen. And I would have loved to have been there as a part of that celebration as fire from heaven came and not only licked up the wood and the sacrifice, but the dust the scripture talks about and certainly all the water that was contained in the trench. Now, God had a tremendous thing in store. And at that point in time, the scripture says that the people fell on their face and they worshiped God. They realized who the real true God was, the one that Elijah had been telling them about all of this time. As we look at the first chapter here of 17 and also just into a little bit of 18, I think the overriding principle that I see involves the voice of God. You notice throughout scripture, the verses we've looked at, that the scripture says that they came to him through the word of God, or they brought the word of God to him, or he heard the word of God. And because of that, he was able to take those and he was able to see victories won, great things take place, great things happen. As we look in terms of our life, the most important thing I think that we can be is also listening carefully for the voice of God. God speaks to us on a regular basis. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I wake up every morning and find handwriting on the wall. I don't, and you don't either. But God does make it very clear to me and speak to me in different kinds of ways. And as we look in terms of our individual lives, particularly in the days in which we live, we need to hear the voice of God. We need to understand what he's saying. We need to understand what we need to be doing. We need to understand what's coming. All of these things are important to us. And just as Elisha looked, and each time it was beautiful, again, as we look at the scripture here, every time he heard from the Lord, what did he do? He responded. He moved. He did something. He went to Zarephath. He did all the different things that we read about in chapter 17. And I suggest to us tonight, as we look at this process, that God has great things in store for us that he wants to communicate to us. I think not only as an individual, but I think also as a congregation and as a church. There are exciting things ahead. God, again, is in total control, and God has great things for us as we follow his leading, follow his guiding, and as we listen for his voice. Elijah sets a beautiful example. Every time something was said to him that came from God, he responded and he moved. What an opportunity, what a challenge for us tonight as well, that we can absolutely rest assured, just as the widow lady did, that after her son was raised from the dead to life again, she said, you know, I can validate the fact that truth comes out of your mouth. And we, as we are people here today and tonight, we certainly are in the same process that God will speak to us. Many times we ask him to do so. And I'm sure nobody in here except me probably is this way, but we become very impatient waiting for God sometimes to respond the way we want him to. But you see, God's timing, again, as I shared with you earlier, is always exact. God's timing is always right on the button. And even though I become impatient, even though I would like to move the hand of God, even though I would like to oftentimes tell God how things need to be done, it's not what we're about. But as we listen for him and his voice as he speaks to us, God will prepare for us the way. He will provide whatever we need to see ourselves or see it through. God will supply that every time. And so as we look in terms of Scripture tonight and look in terms of our lives and how it affects us, I pray that each of us can be more sensitive than ever before to the voice of God, that we can be listening with extra alertness as God speaks to us, and as we seek Him and ask Him the direction that He wants us to go and the things that He wants us to accomplish. Exciting times again are ahead. I'm absolutely certain of that. And yet the most important thing is that we take God with us through those exciting and difficult encounters. What an opportunity tonight. What a challenge for each of us. God will make a way. We simply need to go with Him. We simply need to listen to His leading and His guiding. And I noticed, too, about Elijah's life here, there were times when the brook dried up, etc. He didn't panic at all because he knew God was in charge. And he knew that God had brought him this far, and God would give him more directions, more leading, and more guidance as he continued to look to Him. I think it's also important to look at Elijah's life. He didn't hesitate. When God said move, he moved. When God spoke and said, do something, He did it. What a beautiful thing. And we find that in our life. Sometimes we make it so difficult. But if we simply just respond to God and allow Him to move and minister in our hearts and our lives and to lead us and to guide us and direct us, we can see tremendous victories won for Christ as well. We aren't going to see fire fall from heaven, but we can look and say, hey, this is the God of Elijah who saw him through so many difficult times, so many difficult places in so many difficult ways. And we too can experience the same kind of victory that he did in terms of his life. Father, we're thankful tonight for your blessings and for your goodness in each of our lives. Father, we thank you that we can hear your voice in a very audible and a very clear way. Lord, however you lead and guide and direct us, that we can follow your footsteps and we can go where you want us to go and do what you want us to do. I pray tonight, Lord, that we can be more sensitive to your voice than ever before. That God, we can listen carefully. And Father, although sometimes what you share with us seems impossible in the natural, but God, we know if that's what you want us to do, that you will make a way and you will provide what we need to be able to see that successfully through. Father, we just thank you again for your goodness. We thank you for your presence that is always with us. We pray, God, again, that you'll just help us to respond to your voice and your guidance and your leading in Jesus' name. Amen.